Funny, strange, not funny.
Ecclesiastes. Chapter 10.
The Old Testament.
Oh, man. I've memorized the page number. 719.
Verse 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Now, we spent a lot of time on the serpent biting him, if you break the hedge yesterday. Let's spend some more time on it. Go to Isaiah 50. Think. Well, before we do that, go to Acts 17. Paul is at Mars Hill in Athens. And verse 21 of chapter 17. Well, wait a minute. Let's go back to 16. Verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given up to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, which is Mars Hill, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." They were all seekers. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. You know, you remember me, I forgot the name of it. What's the big deal in
The Parthenon.
The Parthenon is this huge thing that just totally, completely dominates even the modern day city of Athens. And Mars Hill is about three quarters of the way up to the way to the Parthenon. And it's a place where, it's sort of a natural place where these kind of things took place. And he stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said to him, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Or really what he said is too religious. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel or after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, and move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, he didn't command all men to... He commanded all men to repent. And again, this is the same thing that Paul, John the Baptist said. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Now, the operative phrase here is, he established the bounds of our habitation. Now, what is it that causes us to move out of the bounds of our habitation?
Fear of death.
Hmm?
Fear of death.
No. Well, maybe. But let's go to Isaiah now. Isaiah 57. I said wrong before. Verse 10. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope, for thou hast found the life of thine own hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. Now, this is all we've ever done. When something either was grievous or boring or whatever it is, no longer you felt that you weren't called to do that, then you become wearied in that way. And you don't stop and say something else, or as Paul said, repent. You have to do something else, whether it's with a person or with a marriage or with an idea or with a career or a place, anything. You get wearied in doing it, but instead of saying and seeing with all integrity that everything will, no matter where you are, it's the same, and that God has established the bounds of our habitation, what do? We find the life of our own hand. And therefore, when we find the life of our own hand, then we break the hedge. We go through that hedge. And in the grace of God, the serpent bites us, but we don't die. We just go somewhere else. Then we do it again and again and again and again and again. And we spend a lifetime being wearied of the greatness of our own way and yet going ahead and finding something else.
Gary gave a good example because he's going up to go fishing, you know, bull shoals. He said, inevitably, wherever you are on the lake, you know, the other people are catching the fish over there, and that's where you would like to be, you know. And so it's never like a fisherman's principle or something. You're never in the right spot where you want to be.
Should have been here yesterday.
Yeah. What?
That's the big thing I grew up with, fishermen. It's always, you should have been here yesterday. Man, we were killed.
All right, well, let's look at another. We'll go to Isaiah 20, I think 29. No, Isaiah 50, I'm sorry. Verse 7. The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be dismayed. Now, He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord will help me. The Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Now, again, you got to understand, that is always true. There's never a time nor a place where that isn't true. But if we think we need the Lord, if something isn't the way we think it is, what do? We lean on our own armor of standing and do something else. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. Constantly. That's all we've done our whole life is break through the hedge. And then a serpent bit us. Can you see that's what your life has been? What is the bite of the serpent? I mean, we could go on and on about that, but I think it's understandable enough, right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it seems like I remember in the rabbinical stuff, the hedge was always a thing. It was supposed to be protecting something. You know, you're protecting your vineyard or something or other. To break out of that, it's like you're going outside of the...
You're going outside the bounds of your habitation.
You get bit.
I saw that in Morocco, with driving through the hinterlands, and it's flat land, and they're shepherds, and they gather brambles and stuff and build a rectangle out of walls of brambles with a part that opens, and they bring the animals in at night, and they close that thing, and then everybody's safe. But if you go through outside that hedge, there's rustlers and wolves and...
Well, the point of all this is that it's the night when it's the danger, and that's when the sheepfold was created for. It's where all of the sheep that had been pasturing all over the world, they were brought into the sheepfold, and the sheepfold was just, it could be made of stone or thorns or anything, and it was a boundary. And then the shepherd slept at the door of the sheepfold, so that the whole point of it though is that if you believe what I'm saying, that the night happened, that we have been in the night, the night, the beginning, which is the night in Hebrew, of the last day for 2,000 years, and everybody's going outside the sheepfold and running after and doing stuff. And the mystery of God, he always, his repentance, his long-suffering is what we account as salvation. You don't have anything to accomplish. You don't have anything to seek. But you can't know that until you've tried it. But then it goes, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Everything, all of your stuff that you've got, nothing is permanent. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walk in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay only there upon his God. In other words, don't go out and try to do something else. You can if you want to, but time may not last long enough for you to get back. Then it's the next one of these. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that surround yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled, and this shall you have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. Now, basically, on a temporary basis, that's what the evidence is, that the serpent has bit you is because you're lying down in anxiety or sorrow. There is no peace. You know, somebody called me late last night about that listens, and hey, this incredible deal because they, you know, I won't go into the details because I listen. But it was like there was this part of them that was hidden, that I don't know how to say it. It's a, that inbred self-righteousness. Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and some of you don't, but no matter what he did, he could never be away from self-righteous, because he was always, there was always somebody that he was looking at and judging. Well, then the author in him of all of that self-righteous behavior and his was his father. And then he found out some stuff about his father, and he is crushed. And so, because, how can I say this without exposing everything?
Because Molech is just melted.
Yeah. But
his God has been shown to be.
Well,
no,
you all know what I'm talking about. You all have had somebody that was like that. And that caused you to always sit on the judgment seat and never on the mercy seat. And so for him, the way that he had to see and get off the judgment seat is he had to forgive with total mercy. He had to give mercy in order to get off the judgment seat. To the merciful, I will show myself as merciful. To the proud, I'll show myself as proud. I mean, that's what he does. That's all. Because, again, you're forgiven as you forgive. How can that be? You mean, I'm not forgiven? Well, that just flies in the face of everything that the Christian world has said. Oh, you're forgiven. You're not forgiven unless you forgive. You're not on the mercy seat unless you're showing mercy. So the only question I have for you is there any reason to go to break through the hedge any ever again? Can you just stop and say, and again, it has nothing to do with this physical place. It has to do with wherever you are. And just stop and say, Father, I present myself to you a living sacrifice, no longer leaning on my own arm of understanding. I rest here, and if I perish, I perish. There can't be any more of this game playing, this crap that you do to enhance yourself. It's got to go. Or the crap you do to judge yourself. He that breaketh through a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. The evidence the serpent is bitten is that you lie down in sorrow. You break through the hedge when you're wearied in the greatness of your way, but you don't say there's no hope because you find the life of your own hand. And it goes on and on. This is the only story that's going on with the human race. There's no great men. There's no men of God.
Kind of an eye-opener for me this morning. I always had the judgment seat where I was judging others. Found what you said many times, it's judging myself.
Of course. You can't. That's all you can do.
And it's not always very common. It's not very favorable either.
Well, no, it's never as favorable.
Very destructive.
Because that's
thinking outwardly instead of inwardly, and the effect it can have on me and other people.
Well, let's look at something else to prove that. Let's go to Isaiah 26. We're staying in Isaiah today. 26.
Yeah. Good thing of the Garden of Eden where everything was there for him.
Exactly.
The hedge was, you stay in this, it was buried, it was like one thing.
One thing.
It was, outside this thing, that's what they had.
Okay, Isaiah 26 is the song of Isaiah, really. This was a song, and it was sung in that day. What, remember we studied what that day means. That day doesn't change for everybody. That day is the one day when you finally see you're in that day. So can you just for a minute accept that you're when Jesus said of Abraham, he saw my day and was glad? Can you see the same day today just for a minute? Not thinking about anything else, not thinking about anything past, present, or future. Just boom, you're in that day.
That just reminded me of what Paul said on the hill when he said, in him we live and move and have our being. In that day. It's right there.
Okay, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. It's not talking about that hunk of property over there in the Middle East. It's talking about the place where Judah is. It's in the New Jerusalem. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for our walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And nation is just Am. It just means the people. And you keep the truth by keeping him and him alone. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, remember it's Yahweh, is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he lays it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. Now the lofty city is the phony Jerusalem. Whether it's the Jerusalem over there, which Revelation says is Sodom, or if it's the Jerusalem of your own mind where you've got your marching orders, all your little Sanhedrin up there in your mind telling you what to do. In order for you to be in that day, that the false Jerusalem or the type has to be brought low. Even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright, thou most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is only to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. That means even when things were not, you didn't really, your mind was saying all kinds of crap. But the real you, the soul, was desiring him and him alone. Yea, with my spirit within me I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, or to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. He will not behold it because he cannot behold it, because his eyes are holden, because every thought, every act, every emotion is with the eye motive. So therefore that's the silver, his own redemption on the back of the glass. So wherever he looks, he says, what does this mean to me? How can I use this? Got? Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not even see it. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at thy people, at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast also wrought all our works in us. Everything in your existence up till this point, now, God has done it. And if you can't forgive yourself, you're saying, oh, I'm too friggin' special. I'm so special that the sacrifice of God's Son wasn't enough for me. Oh, you don't understand, Ola. You don't know what I've been through. I don't care what you've been through. God has wrought all your works in you up till this point so that you would fit and be knit together in this mystery of the universal body of Christ. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. Maybe even this morning until now. All the behavior patterns, all the shoulds and ought tos, all the emotional responses, all the whatever. Other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. But now by thee only will we make mention of thy name. What does that mean? By thee only will we make mention of thy name. That means that there is nothing that wasn't from him. There is nothing that isn't from him. You can't be a victim of the past and you can't be a victim in the future. There is never an excuse for you not to be at peace. Because now the bounds of your habitation have been set. Now you understand the futility and emptiness of breaking through the hedge. You'll just get bit by the serpent again. Now you understand the stupidity and the asininity, if that's a word, of walking in the light of the sparks that you have kindled. Or the asininity of leaning on your own arm of understanding.
I was thinking about this hedge deal. It's like you can't, you know, wanting to break through the hedge can mean wanting to go someplace else or, you know, thing. And if those boundaries are, if God moves those boundaries, then wanting to stay where you are is the same thing.
Amen.
You know, it's like you want to break through the hedge by just keeping things the same, you know, or something.
Like the cloud.
Yeah.
All right.
They didn't hesitate. They packed up and moved.
Well, Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live again. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. I think I should read the rest of that. Isaiah 26, but I got to quit. Anybody have any response? You see how simple it is? Take it, big guy.